another one.
And another one. That's his most famous line, huh? It is. And that, and he doesn't eat vajaj.
What?
DJ Khaled? Yeah, he's on record for not.
Wow, I apologize for his wife. I'm in a relationship, but like, yo,
I know
all women deserve that. That's I all know. I gotta say.
I don't know if he's changed since the internet trolled him for it.
They better have. Yeah.
Or if he doubled
down. Peer pressure. Do it.
She's probably like, what am I missing out?
That's like that Key and Peele sketch. Have you seen the one where they're like, they're two pimps teaching like the oral art?
Yes.
And at the very end, they leave and be like, we'll be back. It's like two girls.
Yeah. Yes.
Like 20 down, 10 billion to go.
Like she got to teach them all.
Yeah.
That's great.
Right, tell me the story.
Oh, wait, well, so.
You had your family here.
Yeah, I had my family here. And. lost my train of thought. Yeah, my family was here this past week, and you know, my niece is a aspiring professional basketball player, and she's quite good. And I try not to say that in a very biased way, but like just observing her and her skills, amazing.
Did I see some clip with her and Jordan Poole?
No, that wasn't Jordan Poole. No,
he looked like him.
No, it was some trainer. So my brother brought her here from Hawaii, put her in a camp. After the camp wrapped, he gave her additional training at the Golden State, this training place in Oakland, basically to assess and analyze dribbling skills. I think it was like an audit, right? That's and dope. So the idea is that there's this infrared, you know how like they have that golf swing thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's that, but in basketball.
That's dope.
So it'll test your speed, your accuracy, basically all of the things that you would want to know as a player. And during this time, we got there early, as one should.
Always.
And there was an event happening at the same time. And what had happened, what had happened was they had all these, like, all the swag that was there. And they were kind of packing up, but it was adjacent to where we needed to be. So out of curiosity, I was like, well, why don't I just walk there? I have my camera bag with me. I looked like I belong there.
You always belong.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway, I walked through the threshold of the doorway because it was outside on kind of this balcony. And what do I see on my left as I walk through? The Golden State Warriors trophy, the NBA trophy. Beautiful golden thing with the NBA backdrop, the Golden State Warrior backdrop. So immediately I'm like, okay, this is a core memory moment for my niece and maybe for my family. Yep. So I walk up to the first person I see, I introduce myself, and I say, I love events like this because it helps support the community. Basically, it was a CarMax meets Golden State Warriors partnership where they were doing back-to-school supplies for young adults or young children.
Dope.
Introduce myself, ask how I can get involved. I asked, like, who's in charge? Basically, try to be like, hey, I would love to see this in San Jose. I'm sure it's been thought of. Maybe it's even been done, and I just wasn't aware of it. He points me to the right direction. This other person points me to another direction. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I've distilled my story to the next person, saying, like, my family's in town. My niece is taking a class here shortly. Would it be okay if they came and saw the trophy? And they're like, yeah, sure, bring him in. So I'm like, all right. So at this point of the morning, I had a backpack that they've given me that they filled with notebooks that they had and some, like, you know, what you would, some swag stuff.
It's all Warriors themed.
It's all Warriors themed.
Great.
So I had it, and my family is sitting kind of at the end of a corridor. And so of course they see me, and then they start to notice, like, I'm holding stuff that I wasn't holding before. And they're like, wait a minute. So that was step one, right? They're oh my God, some wag. Yeah. And then I get closer to them and I say, come with me. Oh. And they're like, what? And then they see the trophy as they walk through the door and they lose their mind, right? They're from Hawaii, you know, like, I don't even know if Hawaii has an NBA team, but so they get a chance to hang out with it, take photos with it, and get this. One of the coordinators there, or one of the volunteers maybe, her granddaughter attends the school district that my brother is in IT for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they instantly make this connection.
Small world.
And so my brother promises to, like, look after the grandkid. Like, I'll try to support them, or, you know, whatever I can do.
I love that.
I do too. So they took photos together, and, you know, you can check it out on our Instagram. It's just there hanging out with the NBA trophy, which was shiny and nice super reflective. So
Steph has kissed that trophy.
Yeah. I mean, they won a couple, so I don't know if it's the same one.
No, he's kissed all of them.
Oh, that's true. He has, yeah.
I would kiss all of them.
That's right. I should have looked for kiss marks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steph. Like a forensics.
Forensics, yeah. Anyway, so that's my family story and the Golden State Warriors. And I'm Tossy Alabastro. And you can find me at Tossy Alabastro on social medias. And
I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet. And this is our podcast,
Art Time Job, a podcast for working and aspiring artists by us working artists. And we're here to support you, and hopefully our stories and some of our anecdotes here will help support you in your journey.
Yes, because it is a journey.
Yeah, and you can't, it's impossible to do this journey alone.
Yes it is. And you hear this all the time in the industry, but yeah. it's who you know.
Yeah, and you know what? That did not sit well with me when I first started. Because I'm like, what does that even mean? You mean like I can't get through with the merit of my own skill or whatever?
It's not my talent. I have to know that person?
I know.
Ew.
And you know what? 20 years later, since starting, I don't know if it's 20 exactly, but it's so true.
It's so true.
I admit it now. It is mostly who you know.
It is.
And to get to that point, you also need to have skill, dedication, ambition. Like, you can't, those are all still very important ingredients.
Yep.
But who's going to taste the stew?
Who is? and I also want to add,
yeah,
it's also not who you know.
Uh-huh.
It's who knows you.
Mmm.
Add that on there.
Yeah. You know, there's a great quote. I think it's Steve Martin, the comedian Steve Martin. He said, be good enough. Be so good that they can't ignore you.
Yeah. Be undeniable.
Undeniable.
Baby.
Come on. Undeniable.
And I love your story because you connected so many like people that like would have, like, we're all like 6 degrees away from everyone.
Yeah.
And like, we're so close to everyone. But if we don't make that initiative or that effort to like say hi to somebody, you're like, get turned down. They could have easily been like, no, you can't come over here.
Yeah, sorry, private. Are you part of the school? You know, they could have any number of ways to like keep me out of there, right?
But you were just like, you start off with a compliment, love events like this. Mm-hmm. And
which is true.
It is true. Yeah. It is true. And I think you showed me a business card where you got
Oh yeah, I didn't add that to the story.
It's okay, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah. At the end of that interaction, I left with the business card and greeting from the person who was coordinating it, and they had said, hey, you know, if you're interested in doing more, like possibly some photography, reach out to me. I'll connect you with the PR person for the Golden State Warriors. We'll see what we can do. And that, you know, there's no promises made there, but there was a connection.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Because who knows where that leads?
Absolutely. And I have a story to share with this person, you know, when I reach out and be like, hey, I was there that day. This happened. Here's who I met.
Yeah.
So like all of that information I've clocked.
So good.
So many like small and large details are kind of at my disposal.
Yeah. It's ammo, baby.
It's ammo. Yeah.
It's ammo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
You know, I mean, it's all relationships.
It's all relationships. I think a lot of my success has mm-hmm. happened because of relationships.
Yeah.
I haven't shared this with you yet.
Oh,
but this
hang on. Do I need to sit? I'm sitting down already.
Sit down.
Let me stand up. Okay, I'm sitting down. Yeah. Tell me. I see, one of the things I love about this podcast is, one, you and I already talk, and you and I already share some of our successes, like in a text, like, hey, I did this, or this happened, or maybe I saw it on social media.
Because I want to see you win.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I want to see you win.
It's never a jealous thing when you share your wins with me. I'm like, I love that for you, Tossy, you know?
We're moving together.
Yeah.
Anyway, this moment is yours. The floor is yours.
Thank you. I haven't shared this with you, Tossy. And the blessing of this, that by the time I share this, it will be out, so you guys can see it. I booked a little commercial with McDonald's. Thanks, bro.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, me too. Me
too. Yo, congratulations, dude.
The happiness is not just the meal, you know?
It's not. It's everything
meal
else.
The meal.
Yeah. The meal is the bonus.
The meal is the bonus.
Yeah.
And the blessing of this, why I share this win, other than just a quick flex, is that I booked this without auditioning. The beauty of this is,
wow,
I'm gonna start with the beginning of, like, I kept on auditioning for this casting agency director and they kept on not booking me. I would get like check availability, which is like the next step after a callback, which is like means you're in the final countdown, final five.
Yeah.
But
which is
never,
not uncommon
right, at all.
Okay.
They're just trying to make sure everything works, who they work with. Like, you're in good. If you get check availability, you're so close. It doesn't mean it's on you. It's usually casting. Anyways, I kept on auditioning for them, and I never got anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally got it once. I got in there once, and I wanted to make sure that I was early, that I was going to be in my best attitude, and I was going to do the best performance I could with these people.
Wait a minute. So you're saying you showed up as a professional?
You know?
Base level. Like,
base level. Show up on time, early, if anything.
Yeah.
And be professional. Like, don't let your outside influence what you have to do today.
Right.
Get the job done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I made sure, what's something I always like to do, I always try to get everyone's name. There's just something about being like, hey, bye Ben, bye Steve,
right,
good seeing you. I like to be like, we made that connection. So when I was there, luckily I already knew some people that were also cast, mm-hmm, in this little skit they had for TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, good to see you. No, so I had the energy up and it was like, sure, natural. Like, I really wanted to connect with people I haven't seen in a while.
You were floating.
I was floating and I made some of the people laugh while I was doing my thing. So then I had a really good first day with them. Since then.
So you're saying there were multiple days?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So like the casting company that's doing this is just doing the TikTok ads for McDonald's.
Okay.
So like monthly they get like, oh, we need to do some stuff and like run ads on it. Yeah.
Wow.
So they need some actors to do it. And I got this audition through my agent. But since then, that first time, I've booked two more times, all through auditions. And it's been great each single time. I always know people or meet new people.
Amazing.
There.
Amazing.
And then this last time, I just got an email just saying, is David free? And from my agent, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I thought it was going to be the regular, you know, quick TikTok kind of skit stuff.
Yeah.
And then I show up and it's just me there. And I'm like, I was like, oh, maybe they just need one skit today. And then I saw the setup is just a little bit different. I'm like, oh.
Same place?
Yeah, the camera is not vertical this time. I'm like, it's horizontal. I'm like, interesting. And then I was just talking to them. They're like, you know, this is like a commercial. And I was like, what? Which means pay is more.
How did they, you know? So okay, that's one, super exciting. Two, how did they prep you? Well, I don't know how much you could talk about it, but like, obviously you didn't have to learn any lines.
No.
Okay, great. So they knew what they wanted. They had the right person in mind.
Yeah, they knew I was capable.
You know, you're capable.
Yeah,
from previous work with them.
Yeah, it was just facial expressions and just like having fun.
Yeah.
On set.
Wow.
So like I overheard the casting director talk.
Yeah.
Cause the cinematographer was like, how do you get these talent? You know?
Mm.
And they were saying, she was talking about like, oh, we bring in a lot of people. And then they were like, some people, you know, just get mad that they have to bring so many clothing options.
Oh, sure.
Or like they're really loud or like, you know, they're not on time and stuff like that.
Ooh.
She was like, my favorite talent is professional. They show up early and they're quiet in their area and they're, you know, maybe talking amongst each other, but they keep it down and they're just ready to go when we need them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, well, how'd you get this guy? And she was like, oh, I work with him. He's great. He always brings good energy on set. So I'm in the rotation now.
Oh,
and that's just like, thank you. That's just like a standstill. That's just like a testament to like, I really want this and I really love doing this.
Yeah.
So like, it doesn't cost me anything not to be kind and like,
yeah,
you know, talk to those people and learn each other's names and like get to know everyone.
No cost,
there.
All profit.
All profit, baby. Man.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I almost like just you describing that, I can already imagine like how that went down. I mean, obviously you just kind of shared some of that, but I can imagine how it went down because of those relationships that you nourished and maintained.
Yeah.
And you know, just being a professional.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great lesson for folks that are starting off, or maybe like you're down the road and you feel, you know, you got a chip on your shoulder about it, but like, you know, why are you there? I think just the baseline of just being grateful.
Oof.
To get that call and it's not about having a scarcity mentality where like, oh no, this is the last one. This could be the last time this happens. It's more like this is the first of many.
Oh,
and yes. How do I set the standard for myself moving forward?
Yeah, because right? You never know when you're going to run into them again, when you're going to see them again. Yeah. We all are human. We are going to forget people's faces, but mm-hmm. Why not try your best to make those connections with people? Because there's some people on set that I was talking to, and yeah. One of the guys who was directing, he was like, oh, I make beats. And I was like,
I'm
a rapper. I was like, yo, let me get your Instagram. Let me get your SoundCloud. Where can I listen to your stuff? So it's like,
yeah,
just taking it a step further. So if there is a next time,
yeah,
I can be like, yo, that one beat though,
let's go, it's fire,
you know?
Yeah,
or like, let's collaborate.
I mean, imagine that world where that person makes a beat that ends up in a McDonald's commercial that you are in rapping over or something. Man, right,
that's like the ultimate, like, you do everything, like,
yeah,
this is my project.
Yeah,
you know,
side tangent, if you're following David aka Active Poet on social media, you know that some time ago he released a video of him rapping on an Old Spice commercial.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about that until that was released, and that was amazing.
Dude.
And you know, it's when you hear that you're like, yeah, boy. Yeah.
It's official.
It's official. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Side tangent, nothing to do with relationships, but the cool thing about that commercial, a little backstory of, or that voiceover audition, was they sent me a rough demo track of what they wanted.
Sure.
And because I'm musically inclined,
of course,
same way when you get sides or script, you're like, I know what they want.
What kind of color can I add to
yeah,
this?
I know what they think they want, but I'm going to show them what they want.
Oh.
So I did what they wanted, but then I also hit the beat. Same lyrics, but how I would rap it, I might have put in a couple more things. But mm-hmm. I started with mine because I knew it was a stronger choice.
Uh-oh.
And then I did theirs. And my agent called me and they're like, yo, I love the new audition. I was like, there's no way you're not going to book this. And then the next week I booked it. And they were like, when I talked to them in person, when I was doing it, they were like, it's because you added your own flavor that we booked you. And they used my version.
Oh, wow. The commercial.
I was like, yeah.
That must have felt so, I mean, satisfying, gratifying. Yeah.
You gotta take the risk in these auditions.
Amazing.
Have fun, you know?
I mean, I think, like, so, you know, we talk about that this podcast is for working and aspiring artists. And really what you demonstrated there was the sense of, like, you're not a meat puppet. You're not there to, you know what I mean?
No, I don't. I want you to go into
boy. Oh, okay. Basically, like, something that I dislike, you know, one of the big reasons I decided to really put a lot of time in theater as a pivot from doing film stuff is I didn't yet know what I was capable of as an artist / actor, my artistry as an actor. And so in theater and performing arts, you have so much agency over your instrument, right? At the end of the day, it's you on stage there with the choices you've made and the skills that you have. Film also obviously has that sense, but as a young person trying to navigate that, it always felt like, stand here, do this, do that. And so I wasn't sure, right? And that was a big reason I did theater first. Or I went to theater I was looking for something.
Yeah.
But what you were saying is, like, you got the sides, you got your assignment,
mm-hmm.
but as an artist, you then colored it in with your own crayon box, right?
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Because, like, yeah, some of these people that make the sides or... not make the sides, but like as far as commercials go, they have an idea of what they want, but they may not, you know, they need that collaboration spirit to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
And that's that whole thing of, like, who you know, and like, you know that this person can deliver a certain thing and to do it well, get that person.
Yeah.
That's why when they're like, you know, I don't want to be typecast. I'm like, well, what type are you? Do you know?
Yeah. You and have, like, to know.
Yeah. And when someone says, oh, I do everything, I'm like, I don't even fight that. At this point, I just know, like, at some point, they're going to discover that that's actually not as helpful.
Yeah.
Than saying, like, oh, I do this, this, this really well.
Yeah.
But I'm also interested in getting better at this.
Exactly.
Right?
I'd love that.
Which is a powerful position to be in.
Man, you got me thinking about, like, film is such hurry up and wait. Like, you know, you're by yourself. And I love the community aspect of theater, you know. Speaking of that, that reminds me of, like... since we've been doing this a little bit of time now, one of my biggest regrets
being
an artist is, like, not collaborating with enough people.
Oh yeah.
Because I know in like theater, we have so many great theater friends, but how often do we get to be in a play with them?
Not, I mean, have you and I ever been in a play together? No, we haven't.
There's so many people I want to work with. I know. Like, do stuff with, but you know, and sometimes you gotta make those opportunities, you know, with music. I'm so upset that like, there's so many people I was like, oh, I want to collaborate with you. I want to do all these things. Oh yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And like, so much time, so much life has happened that some of them don't even make music anymore.
Oh, wow.
Some of them.
What could have happened, huh, if you did
make music together? You already know.
Yeah.
You already know. And what would have happened if we would have made, maybe that was a song that pushed us, who knows where.
Yeah.
At least we had that memory here.
Right.
You know, it's just sad. Like, life happens. Unfortunately, some people die. Some people move away. Like, people have kids. Mm-hmm. People, you know, start doing other stuff. So it's like,
their passion wanes.
When it's immediate, that's something I'm focusing on now. Like, when I get a fresh beat or a fresh idea or a fresh collaboration offer, I try to do it as soon as I can. I'm like, let's get this out of the way. I enjoy the process, of course, but I'm saying like, let's do this now before it becomes like, oh yeah, weren't we gonna do that?
It's one like day? It's like an avocado.
You want it while it's green.
And that time is like, you don't know how short that can be, right?
Right.
Yeah. Suddenly it's like, oh no, you can't even use this anymore.
Yeah. Avocado ideas.
So. Avocado ideas. Yeah. There you go. YouTube.com/avocado ideas. That's so true though, man. And that sucks to have that regret. But but also what a great lesson to move forward with.
And also, speaking of initiative, Mister, didn't you weren't you able to do a one man show because of your initiative?
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that. The, you know, when we're talking about relationships and like sustaining that and having agency over your artistry during the just after the post vaccination, I would say, because people are still getting sick and all that, but post vaccination, theaters were having trouble maintaining some of their their plays because any number of reasons, right? Like, people got sick and so shows got canceled. And at some point I was thinking to myself, like, I had seen or I had heard about this play called Every Brilliant Thing.
Oh, such a good play.
By Duncan Macmillan, written with Johnny Donahoe. And it's essentially the story of this young boy growing up to be an adult who has had a parent of theirs commit self-harm and, you know, end her life. And the subject is, of course, down or, you know, upsetting or whatever word you want to use there. But there's also that, like, where do you find a silver lining throughout life and throughout those moments and, you know, find a way to stay present and grateful for everything. I was reading this on the train to another show in SF, so there was plenty of time. For those of you who have never ridden a train from the South Bay, California, to San Francisco, it takes like an hour and 40 up to 2.5 hours, so I had plenty of time. So I read this play, and I was immediately struck by how like sensitive, heartfelt, strong, and impactful it is, that I reached out to the artistic director of City Lights Theater Company.
Have you worked at City Lights before?
I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you maintained that relationship.
I did. Okay. Yes, that's right. So over the course, City Lights is a local San Jose theater company that we support. And
we love them.
Yeah. We've probably have what, like 6-7 shows between us?
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now that in each of the 3 shows before Every Brilliant Thing, spoiler alert, I was in 3 different capacities as an actor. So the first time I was like, I think we talked about it on one of the episodes, that's the first time you saw me. I was just like, I don't want to say extra, but you know, like an ensemble member, which is important to like be a part of the story, but also find ways you could stick out as a character.
There are no small parts in the story or storytelling, and Tossie was amazing in that. Keep going.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. I accept the roses,
the
flowers. The next one, of course, was kind of like a little bit more demanding. And then the third. And then finally, I, on the train ride, kid you not, I texted the AD, artistic director. I was like, hey, have you read this play? Has it ever come across your desk? And she says, no, I'll look into it. And I think 4 days, sometime within a week, she reached back out to me and she said, I read it. I love it. Do you want to do it? along those lines.
Tossie knows what he was doing.
I should have taken receipts. I'm sure if I scroll back.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. So essentially, what I had asked was my soft pitch of like, I think this could be a meaningful play in your selection, but I didn't necessarily know how theaters selected plays necessarily. Yeah. I know that you do it way ahead of time.
Yeah.
You read through a bunch of stuff and then you deliberate, right? And so I think the next step after that was that she was interested. She would love to direct it. She asked if I was going to do it. And I was like, yes. I will say there was a slight moment where I was like, oh, maybe it's just a gift, right? Like, here's a play.
Yeah.
I think maybe City Lights could do it, right? But she asked me directly, like, are you thinking you're the one doing it? And I was like, there was a moment I'm like,
a lot of lines.
Yeah. And this, I kid you not, there's this part where, you know, you'll encounter it in your journey where it seems dangerous. It seems scary. You don't seem ready. And that's at that moment, you have to make that decision, right? Yeah. And my decision at that time was, jump.
That was like me with Shakespeare. I said, yep, I have to do it, you know?
Yeah. Make the leap. And so I did. And long story short, a year later, it's on their program. I had a chance to perform it, and we did it in a very special way, bilingual, in that I had a person with me, Dane Lentz, who helped tell the story as the other side of the coin as an ASL interpreter.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, as an artist, absolutely satisfying, gratifying, and I grew a lot. I grew a lot, but also I stayed the same.
Yeah, man. I think that show in particular was, you were able to show your charisma, your depth as an artist.
The kids call it Riz these days, right?
Yeah, you got the Riz. You got the Riz. You've been had the Riz. But also, like, you're able to, like, showcase your improv in there, which I love. I love so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
The thing that scared me about that show was the numbers.
Oh, sure.
When you guys see it, you'll understand. Read it. It's a beautiful. It's my type of play. It's super lighthearted, but obviously facing a deep subject matter.
Yeah, that affects, you know, countless families and people and generations. There is, I believe, a version of it, the original version, that you can watch on HBO Max.
Oh, you can watch it?
I saw it after.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, it's literally the guy that performed like 500 plus versions of it, helped write it. He's a stand-up comedian in the UK.
Oh.
Johnny Donahoe.
Nice.
And after watching it, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, huge creative differences, but like both super impactful.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously hard for me to watch myself. But yeah, we'll go into that process down the road because I wouldn't say I seek out one-man shows, but that one sort of found me.
Yeah.
In a time where I think I needed to be challenged in some ways and also do a play that was closer to where I live.
Yeah.
So like there are all these things that go in the pot, right? That I was like, okay, let me stir this and see what it tastes like.
Yeah.
How did it taste? Oh, bro. Delicious. So satisfying. And you know what? Like they're close by, and when you talk about maintaining relationships, that looks so different to so many different people. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, try not to burn your bridges.
100%.
Right?
Especially if this is a field, an industry, a community you want to be a part of. Like, you don't have to associate with people you don't vibe with or get along.
Yeah.
But you can be civil.
Yeah.
You don't have to speak badly about anybody.
Yeah.
You could just be civil, show up, do your work, and just not go out and be around that person, not hang out with that person.
Remove yourself from the equation if there are people that bother you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to confront it in a way that's like everyone then gets affected by the drama, I guess. Exactly.
Because that's the hard thing, and we'll go into a theater episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Tossie are theater geeks.
Yeah.
About like the hard thing about theater is like, you're committed to this run and there's outside influences and you have to show up and be present that day in this story and not let that affect where you are today.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to tell the story as truthfully as you can.
Yeah. So, I think it's funny when you hear when actors are like, or when actors get interviewed, they're like, oh, how was it working with so-and-so? They're like, it was good. And you, like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I can hear like, oh, they don't call each other after this, you know, anything. They don't, there's no association, and that's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
Not everyone hangs out with their coworkers after work.
I was about to say, it's like the coworker situation. It's like, do you really hang out with all your coworkers? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. Most likely not.
And, I'm sorry. I'm with my girlfriend on blast. She was, she was talking to one of her coworkers and they were like, yeah, but we're friends. And she was like, yeah, work friends. And it was cracking me up because I'm like, yeah, I don't know why. Because she was giving her advice like, you need friends outside of work. And she's like, well, we're friends. And I'm like, has she ever called you outside of this? She's like, no. And I was like, you're not really friends.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you're work friends. You sure, know, you yeah. guys genuinely get along at work, but like, it doesn't go past that. And that's right. Okay.
Yeah, that's healthy, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I know some people, I'm sure we both know a lot of people in mm-hmm. this industry who have burned their bridges and like, you know, it's crazy to see as long as you're in the industry or in a field where people end up like get higher on the level. And if you burn a bridge early on and that person moves up, it's like, good luck ever working around them or like anything they do. You know, yeah. It's like,
have you ever worked with anyone that you felt was blacklisted by the general as a whole and still maintained a civil like workplace as far as like player performance in any capacity?
Yeah, I didn't work with somebody later on in there, but I did work with somebody who was burning a lot of bridges and it was hard to advocate for them.
Oh yeah.
Because I was their friend early on and I understood them. I'm a very empathetic person. Like I know their story. I've taken the time to learn it, but most people don't. So the person's actions to them were not justified as they were to me. But then after a while, when this person was brought up and then people were like, oh, that person, I'm like, dang, everyone? I was like, so then it made me feel like associating with that person is not the best, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So maybe I just don't bring that person up in conversation.
Yeah, because that's within your power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, there's so much of that in your power, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to throw gasoline in the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like something we were talking about too, is like who you hang out with. A lot of people say like, show me who your friends, I'll show you who you are, or you're the sum of your five closest friends.
You know? Interesting.
It reminds me of, yeah, like, where do you want to go? Who do you want to be inspired by? Like,
yeah.
What was I telling you the other day that there's a rapper named Joey Badass and he has this cool rule of 33%. 33%
math.
Math. I know. I'm a math. I actually love math. Secret fun
fact. Oh, okay, good. Me. Yeah, that's right.
Duolingo math just dropped math and I like love doing it every morning. Sidebar. But 33% of the people you hang out with should be at your level. People you consider, you know, you compete with, you are at work with, at the same job.
Skill level. Sure.
Other 33% should be a level higher than you. So you're constantly like taking notes, learning, asking questions, seeing what
they're doing. You want to get there maybe.
Get there, yes.
Okay.
And then the last 33% are people who are where you were or on a lower level so you can teach and give back. And then Tossie was telling me earlier when I was telling him this, like, that doesn't equal 100. So I guess the 1% is checking in with yourself.
Self-care. We'll get this self-care episode. Yeah.
That's a self-care episode.
Yeah. 1% self-care. No, I, you know, it's funny when you were sort of explaining that, I was like, oh, I think I already do that naturally, instinctually. And then, so when you said it, I'm like, oh, right. That's a great thing to share because I don't think that comes naturally to some people. Mm-hmm. Right. Obviously I don't want to make any strong presumptions about anyone, but, and there's plenty of things that probably don't come naturally to me, but I think that's such a great practice.
Yeah. Especially in fields you want to grow in.
Yeah. And just to be kind of cognizant of who's around you, your surroundings, basically. Right. Be alert of what's happening around you.
I definitely feel that at one point, you might not agree with this, but I was in that 33% hanging out with you below you. And I feel like now I'm like eye to eye with you.
I mean, I'm looking up to you, big bro.
Get out of here. Get out of here. This guy. No, I feel like, especially during, you know, Red Ladder and stuff, I was always like, oh, Tossie is who I'm striving to be like right now. Like, leader, great skills. Like, every day I was taking my notes.
Oh, great. Thank you, man.
And I felt like I was asking questions slightly. I was like, I didn't want him to know that I'm like, I want to be like him, but I'm like,
I already knew, though. It's okay. I'm intuitive like that.
It's a subtext. He reads it so well.
No. I think you have to surround yourself with people that like give breath to your work. Mm. And so,
totally.
I feel that way about you. I mean, this is not a circle jerk podcast in that way, but
because it can be. Subscribe to our OnlyFans.
But you have to also like, I think something I learned in a Meisner class was obviously this doesn't apply to everything in your life, but you can apply it to your artistry, and that's don't sit on your impulse. And that rings so much in my mind when I think about when I think of like having a conversation with you or when we're playing activities together in that sort of setting, like that work setting or in play, like don't sit on your impulse. And what that basically means is we usually have to fight to get out of our own way. And one of the steps to do that is just if you feel something that is inspired by what you're seeing and that you're stimulated by it, move in that direction and deal with what then happens, right? So the consequence of that. And when you're playing improv games or you're working on, a play or a movie on set, that's the kind of thing that separates you from everyone else who's just following along like sheep.
Yeah.
Because that's someone that you could go, wow, what is that? Like, where did that come from? And honestly, it's in everyone, right? Yeah. It's just, I think a lot of people sit on it, think about it, and by that time when they've made a decision, it's too late.
Yeah.
Which goes, I think, in this episode we talked about relationships, but really we want to offer you guys, those who are listening, watching, and also us, to ourselves.
Yeah, good reminders.
Good reminders. Some of the best practices that you can adopt right now.
Yes.
To carry you forward to the next part of your career.
Yes, yes, yes. Something you were saying about sitting on your impulse, I just have to get out real quick.
Say it.
It's the yes and.
Get out
of improv. Yeah,
yes.
And that I love so much. It's like, advance the story. Uh-huh, people get caught up in like, but what if? No.
Or they try to plot the story.
Yeah.
But there's people you're collaborating with. So it's not like you can tell them like,
yeah,
it has to go this way.
Yeah. Well,
you're not my dad.
Yeah. And just to be transparent with y'all, when we do these podcasts, we have bullet points of what we want to talk about.
Right.
And we just let it flow. Sometimes we say everything we want to. Sometimes we don't. But
yeah,
there will be more episodes.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Exactly.
So we ain't tripping. But yeah, advance the story. See what's going to tell the best story. Go off that impulse.
Yep.
That's what my girlfriend says. I love that quote. What's going to tell the best story? I'm like, yo.
At the end of the day, if you're collaborating with people and you're hearing ideas, it's really you should really be striving for the best idea in the room, not just my ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, oh God, that's a good idea. I wish I had thought of it. Like, that's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had thought of that. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. But let me support you.
Now that I'm here, how can I support this? Yeah. How can we make this great? Yeah. You know,
because you never know. After you lift that up, then it hits a plateau. You might think of the next.
Exactly.
And you then get
Yeah, that's why I love that place of improv. Once you learn that it's not good to crowbar, as I was taught, where it's like you have an idea, we go into a scene like I want us to be grandmas, and immediately you're like, we're trolls, and I'm like, what do you mean, grandma? We're not trolls. It's like you don't crowbar your idea in there.
Yeah,
you accept the offer and be like, this is what
we're grandma trolls.
Yeah, maybe, exactly. That might be the.
I remember when I was under a bridge.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Retirement, baby.
Yeah.
See, like
exactly
that in itself is like, oh, that's a funny idea, grandma trolls. We always hear about trolls that are young and angry about people crossing bridges. What about the retiree grandma?
Or the young trolls? Or maybe that's a troll doll. So trolls. I want to hear the old trolls.
Yeah, me too.
Old trolls.
Yeah, I remember that bridge was made of stone. Yeah. Now it's just steel contraption.
Now they got hover cards. No more bridges.
Yeah, that's right. I can't ask them for money.
But anyways, we're going to go to best practices to maintaining, nourishing relationships. I know you were telling me you make a written document.
I do. So when I first started, I think it's changed in a couple different ways, but for the most part, I could still find it. It's still available on Google Docs for me. I have a spreadsheet that basically says the audition I attended, who was there, when it was, what was it for, and just any general notes.
Love that.
Right? So like in the notes, it's funny to look back at it now because some of the notes are like people I still know and it's about them. And like that room was pretty warm and inviting. And, and so that's the thing that I could bring back later. When you're talking about like nourishing relationships, those are the things that you can bring back later and say like, hey, this happened. You may not have remembered it because you saw like 52 people that day. Right. I was just one of many, and I wasn't yet like able to stand out in a meaningful way.
Not that you know of.
Not that I know of. Yeah, exactly. And so having that is such a gift to your current self, because it's a guidepost. Mm. And oftentimes in this career, you won't find those guideposts that you can't wait for people to leave those guideposts for you in the same way that like a promotion would be for a 9-to-5, for example, right?
Yeah.
Or changing departments or whatever that might look like. In the arts career, it's really like, wow, 5 years has gone by and I've just made art and that's good. But like, am I still in the same place that I started? And so you don't, I feel like that shouldn't be the place you're at 5 years. You should be able to look back and go, oh, wow, this year I've done like 10 more callbacks. I'm using theater as an example here, or performing arts. I've done 10 more callbacks than I ever did in the last five. And that is a sign of progress. But you won't know that until you actually write it down and look at it and be able to look at it and reference it. And then moving from that, I started journaling different ones, just the general feeling sensation. And you know, my acting Moleskine, I can go like, oh, this play, here are my notes for that play.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I also don't use it as a place to talk disparagingly about coworkers or anyone that I collaborated with. I just give a general sense of like, you know, there are some days that were really hard because there are a lot of exterior factors, right? Mm-hmm. I'll know that, perhaps.
Yeah, you'll know exactly what you
mean. But at the end of the day, it's like, that's not useful for me later.
I want to say real quick that like, that is beautiful for you to do a written document. Like, I don't know if I could do a document myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's super powerful to see your reps that you put in. Oh, I went to this callback. Oh, I met this person. And then look back being like, just from that, that's where we started. And what I wanted to ask you, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how detailed is your document? Is it just like, audition today, warm feeling, met Chris, Natalie, and Dennis?
Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. And I also color-coded if I got a callback. Not if I got the role. Here's the thing. I've never really calibrated for if I got the role. It's if I got the callback.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was my goal at the early stages. So nowadays I use a platform called Coda. It's basically a doc backwards, Coda. And I could post this, or if you want to hit me up on Instagram, I'll share with you what it looks like. And it's sort of the same thing where like I can look at it right now and go, oh, that's the date. This is for who was there, who was involved, if I booked it or not, and what category it is. Because back then it was mostly acting. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, if it was for a grants panel that I served, if it's for a voiceover or a live stream or a, you know, any number of multi-hyphenated reasonings, right?
This guy.
So it's there. And what's cool is because now it's digital, I can distill it into a graph that says like, most of my year was, you know, if I want to answer my question of what did I spend most of my year on? So I could focus on something different next year or double down or whatever. I can put in a pie graph or a bar graph and say, oh, this is what I spent most of my time on. And this is how much I got paid. So like money's in there. And what's nice about this, it's not an ad for this doc, but there's a notes section. So if I open that, it also has how I got there, the maps, everything that was an important email correspondence from the people I was with. I just copy paste that or I attach it as documents. So it's basically, I'm making my own receipts, my own crumbs, basically.
Yeah.
Wait. So I'm going to hop on real quick. You said a word to me that hit me. You said document your reps.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you?
For me, I do something similar to writing out, but I don't write as extensive. Mm-hmm. Shout out Belika. She's an actor. She's a YouTuber. She's from the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me an audition spreadsheet.
Oh, nice.
That I do now. And it basically says like how I got the audition, who's the casting director, what's the company, what you auditioned for, how you auditioned, did you get the call back, did you book it? You know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so insightful looking all that stuff, seeing how many you booked, and just being like, man, I, you know, and I'm excited for the end of the year to be like, I did this many auditions, got this many callbacks, and then see every year where it goes.
No one's going to track that but you. No,
but me. Exactly. And something that was really cool that happened early on this year was in December, I auditioned for this commercial I really wanted. It was a Chase commercial with Steph Curry and Kevin Hart, and I was like, oh. And I saw pictures of it after that. Allen Iverson, my childhood hero, was there.
The first AI.
The first AI. Man, huh? And I got the callback, super excited. Got the check availability. I was like, oh, I'm right there.
You could taste it. You could taste it.
Didn't get it. Mm. The next audition I got was for a KFC commercial. And for those who know me, I booked that. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to have this spreadsheet to see the same casting people who did the Steph Curry one also did the KFC one. So it's good to know that, like, one, that they liked me enough to be like, just not for this spot, but maybe for our next. And they found a spot for me, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Double double.
Exactly.
I love that, man.
Yeah. So it's good to see your reps. It's good to be like, oh, that same company.
But also, you don't feel like you're in the dark.
No.
About like, oh, do they like me? You know. Obviously, we are all human beings, and that creeps up on us. Right? Like, you do 10 auditions, you don't get a call back. You're like, what am I doing wrong?
Exactly.
Nothing, maybe.
Nothing.
You just not the role for you.
You're not the person.
Yeah, you're not the person. That's
don't
okay.
Take it personal.
Exactly.
We'll get into the whole acting stuff, not taking it personal.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of like follow up notes did you not follow up notes, but like what kind of notes did you leave yourself there that you felt?
I was just really happy the fact that they liked me enough to bring me back, or they thought of me for something else.
Yeah.
Something that I like to do for nourishing relationships is every time I'm on set, because set unlike film, or set unlike theater, theater you have a lot of time with people, so naturally you might get people's social medias and Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
Usually, like film or commercials, you might have one day on set.
And that's it.
So I always make sure, one, always to meet as many people as I can, be nice to as many people as I can, make sure they know who I am and I know who they are. Mm-hmm. And then after I leave, I check the call sheet and I try to find everyone on Instagram.
Cool. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I follow
yeah.
them, send them a little DM, be like, hey, it was great working with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I feel like it's a good way of like using the internet. And
sure.
Because you never know. Like, I'm excited to see, like, if the DP is really cool, director of cinematography is really cool, they can like, I want to see what other work they do. Maybe they specialize in music videos and this is their first time doing a commercial.
And I'm support them.
I do music.
Yeah.
Hey. Maybe, you know, that might be a future collab.
Yeah.
Because we need all these people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a team effort to do all this stuff.
And something I think, I don't know how important it is to add this, but like sometimes when you get on set in any capacity, that's not their authentic self that's there.
Exactly.
And so giving that space later to like reach out and say what's up and like I enjoyed working with you allows them room to perhaps express themselves in a way that's like they don't even know.
Exactly.
They wanted or needed, right? Like, oh, I feel seen. That's what a feeling to, you know, offer that to someone a space.
And how many people really do take that initiative? And like,
that's a great question because I do it.
You do
you
it.
You clearly do it. And I like to think like most people do it, but I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know if it is.
I think people are just go into the next thing. And then suddenly you're a year in and you've got all these people you don't really know, I guess. I mean, we're not trying to say that you need to know everyone, but I think there is a good karmic energy, if you believe in that, to just put some good out there, whether that's just like praising someone for like, man, you made that day bearable, or, you know, that's such a memorable experience, or that joke you said really like set it off. And
yeah,
those are like words. It's not just like, hey, it was nice working with you. Add one extra thing. Yeah, like, yo, those shoes, fire.
Fire.
How much were they? Where did you get them? Like, man. That just like, we're people.
Yeah.
Artists are people too.
Yeah, we are people.
Yeah.
I was going to add in a little dating advice. I'm not going to do that. That's a different podcast.
That's a different podcast. That's yeah, a different
podcast completely.
Yeah, yeah. Part-time job.
Part-time jobs. Because farts are funny.
Yeah.
I think just making time for nourishing relationships
yes.
is really important.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah. What is time but our most important currency in both life and in like relationships, right?
Agreed.
So when you're spending time on someone, you're giving them everything you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you 30 minutes of your life, 40 minutes.
Yeah, like when you look at your day at a whole, or like your life as a whole, what's 10 minutes? We're already scrolling. I see you guys already scrolling. Like it could be something as simple as, you know, sending a DM to somebody or like being like, yo, how you been? Mm-hmm. Good. Yo, I saw you just doing this, you know? Or like, I know when you took that trip to Japan, I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk to Tossi
about this. Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah.
I felt like you took me with you to Japan.
I love that. Yeah.
And it gives you things to talk about.
Yeah, you know? And... that I guess that brings us to our last bullet point here, or our last thing that we want to share with y'all out there listening, watching, is you have to set time for time.
You have to set time for time.
That sounds really weird saying it now. I just kind of coming out. But the gist of it is like it's all about intentionality.
Yeah.
Right? And so the gift of being able to spend 5 minutes to like look at someone's social media post if they have it there and like really taking that in,
yeah,
in a way that you never know when it might come up, but like if I see you on the street or meet you at a party or something, or even if I message you, like just sharing a little bit of that and saying like, yo, like you said, you know, excited to see your Japan trip, or for instance this one, like that Old Spice commercial,
yeah,
like I was watching that, man. I played it like, you know, 5 times.
Thank you. Yeah. I think there's a flip side if you look at it positive, because I remember once I graduated high school, social media was tough. I mean, like it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, Instagram was just doing its thing, and I was like, man, I kind of miss that. Like I didn't have that like 10-year surprise of like, what have you been up to?
Oh yeah.
But I think in that way, people present themselves how they want to on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to like get to what you want to talk about right away.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you went to Japan. I've always wanted to go to Japan, rather than like, what have you been up to? And maybe Japan slips your mind
because
maybe you've done so many other things.
Right.
And I didn't know that. And we never got to talk about that. But with the internet, now I can just talk about the things I want to. I see you doing this. Yeah. Yo, nice haircut. Yeah. You know, like what?
I just want to roll that back into the sense of storytelling. I was telling my family this. I'm like, you can have all the skills, all the things that you want to do, but at the end of the day, can you tell a story using that? And so when you think about social media and us as like our habits of looking at things, what exactly is happening? We are seeing the what, right? So when you bring that in conversation, how do you fill that out? You ask about the how, the when, and the why. That's how you. That's a great way to kind of start a conversation. Like, how did that commercial happen? Or why did it do this instead of that? Like these are ways to make someone feel seen while also still continuing to nourish that relationship.
Mm.
Think about the who, whys, when, whats. And like it all goes back to storytelling.
Yeah.
Allow that room for your collaborators, for your friends, collabo friends to share that experience. And then what then do you take with that and apply it to your own life?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, this was
let's go over real quick what the best practices were.
Oh, best practices.
Because those were amazing.
Round.
Yeah, yeah.
So we said write a document
or
have something written where you can look back on.
Yeah, document your journey in your own process.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It'll make you feel better about yourself, especially being an artist.
Yeah.
Social media.
Yeah.
Following up on social media.
Yeah.
Get people's contacts.
The general sense of like following up.
Check in with people every now and then.
Oh, thank you.
And I think a future one that I want to do is like maybe yearly, like send a thank you card to people you've worked with. Let people know you're thinking about them. Get on an email list. Maybe start a newsletter. And I want to inspire you today. We want to inspire you today. If you're thinking of somebody, because I know Tossi does that randomly. He'll be like, I just thought of you. Hey, Miles Morales was on. I thought of you. All right, cool.
Don't sit on impulse.
You know,
don't, send him a message.
Yeah, send somebody a message today that you've been thinking about.
You did it?
You did it?
Good.
Good job. You got that person? All right, good. I'm David Morales.
And
you can follow me everywhere at Active Poet.
Yeah, and I'm Tossi Alabastro. You can find me everywhere at Tossi Alabastro. And this has been
art time job. Reminding you that art saves the world. And make time for your art and those relationships.
That's right. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.